Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's gorgeous out. We're going to Brewers Outlet. That's just it. I might as well just lay it out right away as we start. In fact, let's all go together. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Sit back, enjoy some imports, domestics, microbrews. Talk some sports. Maybe you'd like a soft drink, snack, some peanuts that are roasted fresh and out every day, or maybe a couple pickles from the pickle bar. Dills, barrels, love them. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, unfortunately. The Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I say unfortunately because I wish I was doing this show back in Indianapolis again, but it didn't work out last night. Sean, welcome.
Steve, an absolute pleasure. How are you?
Great. Sean Carey with us. Great to have him on board. Go ahead. Just tell us who's winning the English Premier League. We'll just start out, and then we'll get that out of the way.
I'm a Chelsea guy, and they've been out of it since September. So,
yes, I watched them lose to Liverpool last week.
Yeah,
that was brilliant. It was really no. How was that? Was that Chelsea or Crystal City? It was Crystal City.
Actually, Chelsea drew with Stoke last week, 1-1.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's our five right. seconds of soccer talk. So
we are done, man. We are finito. All right. 800-795-9565. We'll talk about last night's game. We'll talk about postseason tournament possibilities and so forth going through. I'll start with the tournament possibilities first. This is how it plays out. Right now in college basketball, only one number one seed so far has won its tournament. That's it. One. 12 other number one seeds have lost their tournament, Indiana being the latest today. Now, Indiana doesn't matter. Indiana's going to the NCAA, so that's irrelevant. The other ones, not so much, because they are going to clog up the NIT. And if you have 12, let's see, it's 11 right now, and they're not done with the week yet. That's 11 right now. That means you're down to only 21 bids available at the moment in the NIT. That's it. That's pretty limited. So even though Penn State is NIT eligible, you can really scratch that off the list. Number two is the CBI. Penn State played in it 2 years ago, the College Basketball Invitation. For the second consecutive year, though, Penn State decided not to submit an application. They did not fill out the paperwork. So you can scratch that off your list. Then there's the Vegas 16 tournament at the end of the month. Waiting to see on that. I don't know what they want to do with that. I think the lean right now is no, but I'm just play the waiting game on that and just see how the weekend plays out. I think losing last night put and maybe a damper on that thought process, which is fun. So you talk about the extra practice. Let me get into that for a moment. There's always a lot of talk at this time of the year where it's great to have extra practice and so forth. I think in college football, that part is really important because when Penn State was not allowed to go to bowl games for 2 years, and they were bowl eligible each year, but were not allowed to go. I think everyone knows the story. They would end the season Thanksgiving weekend, and then would not practice again until the middle of March. By going to a bowl game in each of the last 2 years, Penn State's been able to stagger out practices. We do a couple of practices the first weekend in December, do a couple of practices the second weekend. And all together, you end up with between maybe a dozen and 15 practices somewhere in there. And you really spend I don't know, five or six of those practices, for example, taking the young talent that's been on your scout team, putting them back into your offense, putting them back into your defense, because they've been running everybody else's offense and defense for the last 12, 13 weeks. And you put them back into your scheme on both sides of the ball, and you let them show you what they have and where they've improved and how much they've picked up, what you want to do and how they fit. That's really important. Then you then lock in on the game, then you play the game. So you've done a couple of things with bowl practice. One is you take a long look at scout team players that you're redshirting and see if and see what they have and what you know, where they fit in your scheme on both sides of the ball. Then you get another game, and instead of having 16 or 17 weeks between your last practice right around Thanksgiving and then practice in mid-March, you've now closed that gap down to about 11 weeks. Basketball's a little different. You have been practicing over and over and over again since mid-October. In fact, you're at the time of the year where closing, you've cut back on practice. And to say, I mean, you cut back on practice in football too, but you cut back on practice at this time of the year. You're going hard out there on the court, sometimes a half hour, 45 minutes, no more than an hour of any hard work on the floor. It's a lot more film work, a lot more discussion, a lot more hot tub, a lot more cold tub. And what's always interesting, though, and Nathan Davis would be the first to tell you this, that despite the fact that you are been practicing this entire time, you go into a practice and you're like, I can't believe they're making that mistake again. That does happen. So the practice, the extra practice at this time of the year is all well and good. That's fine. Now let me tell you what's beneficial, though, to me, in my experience, about playing in a postseason tournament. And that is going through the mental possession-by-possession grind of playing a one-and-done game. It's no coincidence to me that Penn State made a run in the 95 NIT, or check that, let's go all the way back. Penn State made a run in the 1990 NIT and got to Madison Square Garden in 1990. Well, now move ahead one, 1991. They won all three games in the Atlantic 10 tournament. Then they won the opening round game against UCLA in the NCAA tournament. That NIT run of having success in one and done and the ability to mentally go through the grind of one and done prepared them for 1991. 1995, same thing. Penn State went all the way to the NIT Final Four. They were able to a win at home against Miami. Then they went out to Nebraska. They rallied. They won that game. They went to Iowa. They hit Lisicki, had a shot at the wire from the wing, and they went. But it's no coincidence it then set them up for a better season in 1996. Maybe the best, I'd say the second best regular season I've ever seen Penn State have in my 34 years of broadcasting the games. And they made the NCAA tournament. They were ranked as high as 8th. They finished the year ranked 18th. Okay. I don't think it's also any coincidence that Penn State in 2001, in the 2000-2001 season, that came off another run to the NIT Final Four, where Joe Crispin and company were able to go out and win one-and-done games in 2000. You know, in fact, I think they beat Antonio Gates, the Chargers tight end, Antonio Gates and Kent State, in the final eight to get to Madison Square Garden. They eventually finished third, and they beat NC State in the third place game, which is a great win for them. It's no surprise to me that Net then set up the next year in which they went to Rupp Arena and won and beat Kentucky. They beat Hofstra and Princeton, two NCAA tournament teams that year at Madison Square Garden. They beat Pitt. They beat Temple. I mean, they beat everybody along the way. And then when they got to the Big Ten tournament, they had to come up with a way to beat Michigan in the opening round, and did. Jozzy Klein-Hurd put that back, caught an air ball and put it home. And then Joe Crispin hit the big three-point shot against Michigan State. The Spartans were ranked second in the country with Jason Richardson and Zach Randolph and all sorts of NBA talent on that team. And then finally lost in the semifinals. But that set them up for the NCAA tournament, where they then beat Providence in the opening round and then beat North Carolina to get to the Sweet 16 where they were finally beaten by Temple. Again, in each case, going through the mental grind of one-and-done basketball and having some success with it set them up for the next year in terms of confidence and also the ability to play in those games because suddenly it was not a foreign concept to them. You do that in high school, but this is a completely different level. Just completely different. And that's why when you talk about what's the value of postseason basketball, that's the value of postseason basketball. And each coach has to make a decision about where their program is at that particular point and the talent level they have. We know the talent level is going to turn over on this basketball team next year. Which then brings us to last night's game. Ohio State is a little bit better athletically. They are a little thicker, probably a half step quicker in two or three different spots. Penn State, though, is a smarter team than Ohio State. There's no doubt that Penn State's the smarter team of the two. I know a lot of people are complaining about the fouls. I understand that. I sat there courtside and watched it play out, but I'm not going to go down that road. I don't think there's any need to. I will say this. I don't like the. I'll say one thing about that I don't like. The walk by Trevor Thompson in the waning minute, in the final minute, where he caught the ball and then took three steps after catching. Now, I give him the first step just on the try on the catch. Then there was three others after that. Happened about 10 feet away from me. And what bothers me is it happened only 5 feet away from the official because he was just to the left. And Donnie Epley told him, I didn't see it. And Dick and I looked at each other like, how could you not? It happened right there in front of all of us. And you know why you had to have seen it? Because he's the guy that had the ball. Now, that's just the only thing I wanted to comment on. That everything else, you know, it was a tough night for Brandon Taylor. He probably picked the worst night of his career to have a really, really good first half and to have a second half to forget. Peyton Banks, the press, you know, what bothers me about the press Ohio State put out last night, that 1-2-2, is guess what? Penn State worked on that in shoot around. That day at Marion College, they worked on it. So they weren't unprepared for it. They knew what, you know, they ran it in practice. I mean, several sets of them getting it done. Several sets. So it wasn't as if the coaching staff didn't have them prepared for it. They were. But Peyton Banks, in particular, I would single him out, did not do a good job. He went into the corner and, like, get out of the corner and get up there and make some plays. Next year, Penn State will have the ability to have three point guards on the floor in a situation like that. Terrence Samuel, Tony Carr, and Shep Garner. In a situation like that, Penn State will have three guys on the floor that are ball handlers and passers that can make a play like that, which then changes the dynamics of what a team like Ohio State could do. Lyle played great last night. Loving played great. Donovan Jack played great. Shep Garner played great last night. I always laugh when I hear people talk about, you know, Penn State's fundamentals. Like, you know, okay, well, let's have some fun here. what'd you think of Lyle's fundamentals last night? Didn't notice? Okay. Today, Indiana has done it again. They have played. Everyone thought that when Indianapolis got its hands on it, this tournament, that the incredible advantage for Indiana and Purdue as a home court would be tremendous. Do you realize Penn State has more victories at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in the Big Ten tournament than Indiana does? Indiana's 4-10 now. In the 10 tournaments that they have played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. They lost again today. Duncan Robinson hit a three, and then Chatham hit a three, and that was it, and they won the game. He is at the wire. And Yogi Ferrell missed a crucial free throw. that Indiana needed. Second game has been going on. It's Purdue right now with the advantage on Illinois. And I had said to Brian Barnhart, and we're going to hear from Brian in the next hour, but I said to Brian Barnhart last night when they were done, he said, what do you think about tomorrow? And I said, here's the problem you're going to have. I said, with about 10 minutes ago in the game, I said, watch to see where your tank is. Because that's when you start. That third day is about when you're starting to really feel it. Shot gets a little shorter, can't get some elevation on the jump shot because you're playing three games in 3 days. Not easy. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Don't forget Steve Williams on the show today from the Giants Center at 4:35 to update us on PIAA wrestling as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget the leprechauns and the shamrocks. You won't need the luck of the Irish to get a great car at a great price. All you need is Sunbury Motors Kia. Is right here at SMC. 2015 Kia Rios at a low, low price of $14,814.
And they have five at this magical price.
How about a 2015 Kia Optima starting at $18,999? Or the award-winning SUV, the 2016 Sereno, starting at just $24,981. And all of these vehicles are available with 0% financing for up to 66 months. Plus, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So hurry on down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. Where they're not wearing the green, they're saving you the green. And lots of it. SMC, selling more cars, satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Last year during the Sarah Bartlett going away party in Lewisburg, this came on, and Sean Carey took off his white jacket and started spinning it over his head. I was taken aback, but you actually were pretty smooth.
Luckily, it didn't break the internet.
We were going to post it.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people were.
We just got sat there. I admit, I was stunned. All right, coming up this day in sports history, the next half hour, then our play-by-play call today, which is from the Big Ten tournament last night. And then we'll have our sports bozo of the day. Purdue is in charge of their game right now with Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan State will take on Ohio State tonight. As I said in the post-game show last night, if I were Ohio State, I would find religion within a 20-hour span. Right now, Michigan State and Kansas are easily the two best teams in the country. But this is not a best-of-seven series. It is one and done. And that's where I want to talk about other conference tournaments. What's the value of conference tournaments? In basketball, in football, the practice part really important, and the game is really important. That's that jump for the next year. In basketball, yeah, practice is important. The extra practice, yes. But the playing in that possession-by-possession one and done and getting a feel for that, especially with a younger team, that part is really important. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Sean, that part about aerobic training, like that's passé? Is that what she said? I mean, if she did that, I mean, that's good news for you and me.
All day, every day.
That means you and I have been doing it right all these years. Oh, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Oh, what the heck? It's selection weekend. Let me just go out. You know what we ought to do, Sean? We ought to just do the show at Brewers Outlet. Come on by, join us. We'll just sit around and we'll just shoot the BS for a while and talk sports and just let it all roll. What do you think?
Corey would welcome us with open arms. That'd be a no-brainer.
Oh, I mean, a couple pickles from the pickle bar, like a barrel pickle and a dill. Grab a bag of those fresh hot roasted peanuts that are right there at the register. We could also not only get the beer, which is the best selection anywhere.
Probably the one time we should not go would probably be next week. I would pretty confident he'll be on his way to New York City to catch Penn State wrestling and nationals next week.
Absolutely. Well, maybe it's a good time to go. Corey won't know what we ended up with. I mean, really, I'm open to having the employees joining us. What the heck? So, and then water, snow to snacks, and everything. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And Corey and the gang will be going to Madison Square Garden next week for the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Penn State, the heavy favorite. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Mark Sanchez dealt by the Eagles today to the Broncos. The Broncos had nothing. Peyton Manning retired. Brock Osweiler signed his four-year contract with the Texans. They didn't have anybody. So now they're looking at Mark Sanchez basically as a stopgap until they can do something else. But that's what they've done. They've given the Eagles an unconditional pick for Sanchez. Johnny Manziel was cut today. No surprise by the Browns. Expect the Browns to make a play for Colin Kaepernick. Hugh Jackson wanted to draft Kaepernick out of Nevada and when he was with the Raiders, but then he went a different direction. That worked out great for the Raiders. Because they ended up down the road a couple years later, obviously getting Derek Carr. And Derek Carr, to me, is a big-time look at quarterback. I mean, he scared you as you watched the Steelers try to defend him. I mean, you and her were just like in the fetal position every time Derek Carr dropped back.
Really? We're starting this already?
I'm just telling you, he was good. He's one of the more impressive young quarterbacks I've seen.
One thing we can say about Johnny Manziel, probably his best game as a Brown was at Pittsburgh last season when he threw for like, what, 380, 385?
Yeah.
They didn't have to worry about that anymore.
They did what they had to do. They had to get rid of him. Here's the update on the scores. Cam Chapman hit a three-pointer with .2 to go. Michigan, the 8 seed, knocks out Indiana 72-69. Indiana has never had success in the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. It is shocking. They're 4-10 lifetime in 14 games in that building in the Big Ten tournament. And they've got the home court. And by the way, this is a great home court. I'm telling you, this is a great court. This is a shooter's building. It's the best pure basketball building I've ever been in. There's no building I've been in that was better suited for basketball than Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Tremendous. Purdue, you might as well write them in now. They're into the Big Ten semifinals. Yes, I know they've got 18 minutes to go, but they lead Illinois 50-25. I like Purdue in that spot. A.J. Hammond has 10 points in that game. UConn, 12 minutes ago, leads Cincinnati 49-45 in that one. Daniel Hamilton with 11 so far. George Washington, St. Joe. St. Joe's really needs to win this game, and GW is the one that's winning it. The big guy, Kevin Larson, has played well in this one, and GW leads St. Joe's 49-35, just starting the second half. Let's see. LSU leads Tennessee 8-4 early, obviously. Texas A&M beat Florida. The final in that one was 72-66. Dayton beat Richmond 69-54 as Deshaun Pierre had 10 points and 14 boards in that one. Temple beat South Florida 79-72. Jalen Bond had 17. And let's see, anything else here? Tonight, Villanova plays Providence. UMass is against VCU. Ohio State, Michigan State. Maryland's against Nebraska. Notre Dame takes on North Carolina tonight. Virginia will be in action against Miami. Alabama plays Kentucky tonight. Among other games being played in conference tournaments. Time now for This Day in Sports History. In 1882, the Intercollegiate Lacrosse Association was formed in Princeton, New Jersey. Until I came to Penn State, I had never seen lacrosse play before. And then all of a sudden, I said, I'm going to go over and watch this played. What a great sport it is. Great sport. So I think it was what, 3 years ago, I announced the Colonial Athletic Association tournament, the semifinals and the final. A lot of fun. 1892, the first organized women's basketball game was played at Smith College between the students and the faculty members. No word on who won. 1978, Bobby Hull of the Winnipeg Jets joined Gordie Howe in getting his 1,000th career goal. Of course, that also included their goals in the WHA. In 1990, Jennifer Capriati, at the age of 13, played her first professional tennis match. Well, what about the Mark Sanchez thing? There's Sam Bradford sitting there right now, so they're going to have to come up with, obviously, somebody behind Bradford. That's fine. For Mark Sanchez, this is at least an opportunity with a Super Bowl team around him, although C.J. Anderson just signed an offer sheet, I think, with Miami. But they still have Hillman. They still have Thomas at wideout. They're going to have to get a new tight end out of this whole thing, as Owen Daniels was released. They don't know what they're doing with Jordan Norwood yet. But for Mark Sanchez, a golden opportunity. And for the Eagles, look, he's just going to be a backup in what you're doing. Don't hold him back. I think that's fine. And Sanchez can go out to Denver, where he probably is the fourth best quarterback in the division. Between Derek Carr, Phillip Rivers, and Alex Smith, he probably, Denver's gone from having the best quarterback in the division over a 2.5 year span until about midway through the 2014 season. Then when Peyton Manning started breaking down, obviously, with the various injuries. The Broncos had the best quarterback in the division for 2.5 years in that span. Well, now they probably have, with Sanchez, probably, and I say it with all due respect, Phillip Rivers is a really good NFL quarterback. I really like Derek Carr a lot, if you can tell, and Alex Smith is one of the better game managers going out there, and I don't mean that as an insult. So Sanchez goes there. And now the Eagles have to come up with a backup quarterback. They could find another veteran out there that understands just the speed of the game. That might be good enough. They obviously could draft a guy if they wish. Maybe a little further down the line. I would use the first round pick on it. They could do that. They've changed over that roster dramatically. No Sanchez, no Maxwell, who, yes, did pass the physical. No Alonzo, and no DeMarco Murray. And supposedly Matthews, the other running back's on the block, too. They're looking to change this whole thing over. It's amazing how the conversation changes just in one short year, doesn't it? Meanwhile, these Steelers are doing some great things in free agency. Go ahead, Sean, tell us. Why don't you take a moment and tell us about their free agent signees?
Well, they brought they brought in Green from San Diego, who spent a lot of time behind Antonio Gates. And question is he going to be a great blocker like Heath Miller was? That's kind of the only question, but he's much better and faster downfield than Heath was. So it's another weapon in the arsenal for the offense. So now they can focus a little more on cornerback in the draft next month.
Holy, you re-signed William Gay.
They have.
You didn't mention that one. That had everybody. They almost had a parade in Pittsburgh over that one. That was tremendous.
Re-signed Foster.
Well, I would hope so.
Offensive line.
I would hope so. Ramon Foster's a good player. Hey, they could pick up Johnny Manziel to be their backup quarterback. By the way, RG3 is going to visit the New York Jets. He's going to visit the Jets and talk with them.
I know you said that Colin Kaepernick may go to Cleveland, or could be a fit for Cleveland. But I heard he was romantically, I'm not trying to bring the TMZ thing on purpose, but I heard that he was romantically linked with someone in New York that he would love to play in New York. But there's a lot of defensive lines that are great in the AFC East. So why would you even think about becoming a Jet in the first place? Cleveland,
oh,
Cleveland may be a better fit.
And by the way, did you see Chris Hogan sign with the Patriots? The wideout? Now, this goes under the radar. I think he signed a 3-year deal. All right? 3-year contract. And they picked him up. That one goes under the radar a little bit, but a 3-year deal for him. Not bad. $12 million for him. Not bad at all. Boy, they're making some big money in this thing now, aren't they? Boy, money is something else. Wow.
You said the cap goes up to 155 for this coming year?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
And last year was 143?
But you know the story of Chris Hogan, don't you? You do know where he went to school. Chris Hogan played lacrosse here at Penn State. This is a great thing about him. And then, right, he played college football for one season after he graduated from Penn State at Monmouth. And that was enough to get him hooked in and was signed as a free agent by the 49ers. And he bounced around a little bit to the Giants, the Dolphins, then he got to the Bills, broke out, and now he's going to go to the Patriots for $12 million. He came here to Penn State and played lacrosse at Penn State. He only played 1 year of college football at Monmouth after he graduated from here. He never played a down of football here at Penn State. None. He played for Glenn Thiel on the lacrosse team.
Could rename the
great
field now
story
after him.
Don't think so.
Hogan Field?
Don't envision him coming back. Maybe a little reunion at some point, but yeah. He was a lacrosse player here at Penn State. So that's what I saw one. I was like, geez, look, it's Chris got a 3-year deal for $12 million. I thought, this is really paid off. I said he didn't play it. I mean, I'm talking like the only time he was around football here at Penn State is when he attended the game in the seats. Maybe he went by the practice facility on his bike one day. He had to go, yeah, obviously he practiced in Luba Hall a lot because the men's lacrosse team does a lot of its winter conditioning and early game play, depending on the weather, at Luba Hall. But that's as close as he got to the football team. I'm happy for him. 3 years, $12 million for a guy that played lacrosse. Good size guy, too. But he played 1 year of lacrosse. No, not 1 year. He played a full ride lacrosse here, okay? And then when he graduated from here 6 years ago, and he had a lacrosse scholarship here. I mean, this is not a guy that walked on to the lacrosse team. Chris Hogan had a lacrosse scholarship to Penn State. And after he graduated from Penn State 6 years ago, he then went to Monmouth and played there for 1 year. And then he hooked in with the 49ers and then started that road of going to the Giants, the Dolphins, then the Bills, where he finally kicked it into gear, and now he's got that 3-year, $12 million deal with the Patriots. It's an amazing story. And that's what this show's about. Sean, it's all about amazing stories. Our sponsors will now tell you their amazing story in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
You seen the story about the Wisconsin Green Bay play-by-play announcer who got tossed out of the game in the Horizon League?
I did hear about that.
Well, they're playing the game, and I guess he works for WTMJ in Milwaukee. He's one of those guys who just, as he speaks, he expresses himself by with his hands. And so there was a bad call against Green Bay. Green Bay won the tournament, by the way. They're going to the NCAAs. And I guess he's just talking and his hands are moving. And the referee thought he was gesturing to him and warned him. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he started talking again. And then he's moving his hands again. And the referee thought that's it. And he tossed him out.
I heard the audio and he kept yelling, game manager, where's the game manager?
All right. Well, one of the guys from the other radio network, and he was doing the game alone. So one of the other guys from the other radio network came over and at least filled in and was doing it. And he went back to the tunnel. And when he went back to the tunnel, his athletic director and the commissioner of the Horizon met him in the tunnel. And he explained, I wasn't even talking about this. I was just like, I just talk with my hands. And the commissioner of the Horizon, you know what he told him? He said, go back out there. He said, you're fine. We'll take it up with the referee after the game. I give him credit. But they tossed him out. We actually had a sports information person one time. And this is, oh my goodness, I want to say it was 1992. We were down in Tampa. And Penn State was playing in the championship game of the South Florida Classic. They were playing USF, and the game was tied with about a minute to go. And Don Ferguson was the referee, and he made this call on the floor, and it went against Penn State. I know you're surprised. And the sports information person is sitting at the scoring table and just shakes his head. And Don Ferguson threw him out. He didn't say a word. All he did was just, he just shook his head with a minute to go. And, of course, he was mortified that he got tossed out of the game. And he kept saying to me, he said, Steve, I didn't say anything. I said, I know you didn't say anything, Jeff. Don't worry about it. It's all right. I understand that. You know, he was getting, officials get hot-headed, too. And just go over and talk to somebody and say, look, okay, I know you may not agree with it, but look. I got to ref the game here. But they can throw anybody out. I mean, they've thrown fans out. There were two fans this year in different games that were thrown out of the Jordan Center. Can you believe that? So you can get tossed. It's one of the reasons why, I won't take Sean to any game. I mean, you go insane.
Went to an away Ravens game in 1997. I thought I was this close to getting thrown out and getting into a fight with a Ravens fan. It was bad. On my part. I was not classy.
On your part?
Yeah, I was not classy. I was not classy that day.
And was the other person?
The other person was wearing a NASCAR t-shirt. I can't remember what it was, but he was a diehard Ravens fan, but yeah, it was not a highlight for me that day.
Not your finest hour. Steve Williams, by the way, coming up final half hour of the show. We're going to talk about the PIAA Wrestling Championship. Steve will get us up to date on what's happening down at the Giant Center in Hershey. We're looking forward to that. Had him on the show yesterday. Plenty to talk about next week with the NCAA Wrestling Championships coming up. Jeff Byers, Nate Cobbler are going to join us to talk about that next week. Plus, plenty to talk about with the NCAA Basketball Tournament with the bids being handed out Sunday night. Get this, CBS is doing a two-hour show on Sunday. Look, no offense. It only takes 5 to 6 minutes to read off the entire bracket and we're done. That's all anybody cares about. 2 hours? 2 hours? We sit here for 2 hours, but we go from one to another to another to another. We don't just sit there on the same topic. Hey, let's talk about 18 and 17 Austin Peay. What do you guys think of them? I think they're going to lose. All right. How long did that take? Second hour of the show. Final hour of the week coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.